Okay, time to go to Qatar and our man on the ground, Phil Moss. Mossy, good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, Middo. Morning, everyone.
Well, good evening to you. Now, firstly, have you spoken to Graham Arnold? I mean, how is he, if you have so? And, well, you know, 24 hours on, what are your prevailing emotions about what you witnessed 24 hours ago?
Yeah, look, similar to what we spoke about last night, Middo, and yeah, I did speak to Arnie briefly this morning, and, you know, he's in good spirits. No one likes to lose, and, you know, there's not too many worse losers or more competitive coaches that I know than Graham Arnold. But he was realistic, and, you know, he gave the players a, you know, pick them up this morning. That's the first priority, is to pick the players back up. But he said that they were all very realistic last night after the game, disappointed. But, you know, football has levels, and it has levels for a reason, like all sports. And you've got to put your hands up. As I said to Clarkie last night, you couldn't really lay the blame at the, you know, at the feet of our defence or our defensive structure. You've got to put your hand up and say France were just too good. They were absolute, you know, class above. And if you look at the net worth of our Socceroos, is around about 35 million. Well, Mbappe is worth 270 million himself. So, you know, perspective is needed in these situations. We hope to catch them cold. We were going to have to be brilliant, and they were going to have to be poor. That was probably the case in the first 18 minutes, and that's why we're up 1-0, but then they found another gear, and I still think they had a few more gears to go if they needed them.
Mossy, I was going to ask, and I know I asked you yesterday, and I suggested, was the defence a problem? And you said, nah, sometimes you get a better team. So if we play the same brand of footy and the same way as we did against the French, do we win the next two games?
Look, I think if you can play for longer periods the way we did in that first 20 minutes, yeah, I think we're a chance, Clarkie. I mean, okay. Look,
the French are just
read
that good.
Some of the criticism, they are that good, Clarkie.
Yep.
They
yep.
really are, mate. Like,
yeah, okay.
You know, if you look, forget the front line for a moment. Think about the midfield with Griezmann, you know, and then they've got monsters at the back who they're 6'6". Brick, you know what, and they move like ballerinas. Just remarkable. And Lloris in goal, like, he's a world standard goalkeeper, and has been for many, many years. So, you know, it was a great experience for us. And I think, you know, it gives us that, you know, that sort of shock treatment that we're in the World Cup now. We've got Tunisia on Saturday night. And I think if we can play for extended periods the way we did in that first 15 minutes, we played some good stuff. We scored a very good goal that showed that we know we can execute a game plan tactically. Some of the criticism from home about not playing with two strikers up front to press France a little bit higher and take a few more risks, they are spoken by people who have never been in the hot seat. And, you know, their livelihoods depend on getting results. And, you know, there's a whole heap of science behind why you select teams and why you play a certain way against certain opposition. And that's fine to have opinions, no problem whatsoever. But guaranteed, there's a lot of education going on behind the scenes as to why we played the way we did.
Well, see, Mossy, I don't see it as a surprise. I see it as what we, well, most people expected. I mean, everyone's patriotic and everyone wants to win and everyone wants to see us do well. But I don't think there would have been 90% of the country expecting us to win against France. And if we come away with a draw, that would have been a miracle of some sort. But, you know, to lose by three goals, yes, it doesn't look good. But I think you're right. I think if we can play for longer periods, from what I saw, they can trouble a side like Tunisia. And then if you win that game, you're still a chance of moving through. So I don't know where all the doom and gloom has come after one game against the reigning world champions.
Well, I think it comes from being a victim of our own success, Loz, because, you know, this is our, obviously, you know, we've been to consecutive World Cups now since 2006, and all of a sudden we have this, I don't know, this expectation that we should be at every World Cup, and it doesn't come that easily. Italy have missed out in the last two World Cups. You know, that's just a sign of how hard it is to get to a World Cup. We're about to go to 48 teams, which will certainly help in the future, which I still disagree with. I think it dilutes the product, but that's a debate for another day. But if you look at Spain today, you know, they've dusted Costa Rica 7-0. Now, if we opened up last night against France and took more risks, we were at risk of copping 7 or 8. No problem whatsoever. So, you know, I think Tunisia and Denmark are both good sides. They're both very physical, but they're certainly not France. So we're in with a shot.
And you only have to look at some of the other upsets already at the tournament. Argentina getting beaten yesterday and Germany going down last night in a massive upset.
Mate, that was fantastic. And we've just got back from watching that with a group of friends. And that was unbelievable. Germany were completely dominating until a period of the game where all of a sudden Japan started to claw their way back, had a couple of chances, and then bang, bang. It was the 75th and the 83rd minute, Doan and Asano. And, mate, the place was erupting. I mean, there was some German fans at the place we were watching it, obviously not at the ground, but even they were just completely shell-shocked. But the goodwill and the feeling of the upsets is fantastic. It really is. And that's what World Cups are about.
Gee, it's a political World Cup, isn't it, Mossy? Just looking at, Denmark are threatening to pull out of FIFA. Germany covering their mouths to protest against a perceived silencing by FIFA. There really hasn't been a World Cup like it to this extent. And I guess the protesting and everything going on around the politics of the game.
Yeah, it's funny, Mido, actually. All the politics is happening out on the field. It's playing out that way. And I don't agree with it. I just think footballers are there to play football. And yes, of course, you've got to stand for things and you know, use the platform that you've got to, you know, I think fight for the greater good. But yeah, you don't like to see it become political out there on a pitch. Funnily enough, ironically enough, I was at the Australian Embassy this morning as a guest of Football Australia for their AGM. And that was probably the place of least politics going on. It was a fantastic AGM. And but, yeah, you know, I think that some of the football has been absolutely breathtaking. There's been huge upsets, as Loz just alluded to. And I think that the tournament from a football perspective is shaping really nicely.
Portugal tomorrow. Cristiano Ronaldo, it's officially, he's leaving Manchester United, which was... well, unbackable odds, really, wasn't it, after the interview with Piers Morgan? But it's just going to be fascinating to watch and to see how and whether it has affected, certainly, the Portugal side, and in particular, Ronaldo himself.
That's right. And his teammate, Fernandes, from Manchester United, because there was a little bit of undercurrent in the media last week that, you know, Fernandes wasn't too happy with Ronaldo and coming out with that interview. Their teammates here in Qatar for Portugal, of course. Now, the players have come out and said they haven't even discussed Ronaldo's club future. Now, you know that that's probably playing opposites day. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever they would have been talking about it behind closed doors. But let's see what happens. I mean, he's obviously a massive name. There's talk about him maybe even going to PSG. Imagine that. My goodness. But at 37, you know, time's running out for him. This would be his last World Cup. I don't think there's any doubt about that, unless he's on the coaching staff in 4 years' time. But it'll be interesting to see where he ends up, how he ends his career, because, you know, this is a stage that he's so used to performing on. Portugal, you know, they've got a chance of going deep into this tournament if they've got the right dynamic in the dressing room. But time will tell, and tomorrow's their first game against Ghana.
Yeah, Mossy, that's what I was going to ask. How important now, then, is this World Cup for Ronaldo? And again, I know he's 37. I know a lot of people say he's not at his absolute best or at his peak, but, mate, this guy is still that good. Surely he can be defining in regards to Portugal going all the way in this World Cup or getting as close as they can.
Yeah, look, I think if they do go deep in this World Cup, he will have to be defining, Clarkie, because he is, you know, he's just that big game player. He scores big goals in big moments. And, you know, I've got no doubt because let's not let the Manchester United situation cloud the fact that Ronaldo is absolutely revered by his teammates in the national team. He's always put his country, close to his heart and never shirked a tournament or a training camp for his country. So they'll want to send him out on a bright note. Whether they can go all the way or not, yet to be decided, of course, determined. I don't think they're capable of going all the way, but certainly going deep in the tournament, Ronaldo scoring some goals would be nothing less than his career deserves.
Just back home, some big news in regards to Patrick Kisnorbo. Mossy, he's off to France to manage in Ligue 1 and ES Troyes AC, which is part of the City Football Group. So he's the first Aussie to manage in one of Europe's big five leagues.
Fantastic news, Mido. I was thrilled to see this. Paddy Kisnorbo is a really good guy. He works so hard. We saw A-League's All Access on him a few weeks ago, and just the relationship he has with the players. And there's a fantastic video that Melbourne City have put out today, which is tonight our time over here, but it just shows him addressing his players, and the love in the room and the warmth is quite phenomenal. He drives his players very hard, but clearly has a great relationship with them. He was in tears. He's taking a couple of coaching staff with him as well, so real challenge there. Rado Vidicic will be the interim coach for Melbourne City until they find a full-time replacement. Good luck to Paddy Kisnorbo. Troyes is a great club. What a fantastic club to start in Ligue 1 over there in France. And as you said, he's paving a way that hasn't paid before by Australian players, coaches. Sorry, so a great move.
Good on you, Mossy. Enjoy it. We'll chat tomorrow.
Look forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me.